This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Gina Conti, outstanding women's basketball player at the Swiss, Wake Forest, coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. Last night was a statement night for Florida State, Mr. Durham. Last night, the Florida State Seminoles reminded everybody, guess what? We were the best team in the league last year. And you might not have seen us enough this year, given the COVID issue, but guess what? Mm. We are the best team in the Atlantic Coast Conference. No disrespect to Virginia, Virginia Tech, the rest of them, good teams, all that good stuff. Last night, they made it perfectly clear that they are still a beast. And if you come rolling into Tallahassee, you better bring your lunch money, because the Noles just don't lose there. 24 straight against ACC teams.
Yeah, 81-60 last night, and that was about right. I mean, it was Florida State led by, 20 at the half. Virginia went on a 12-0 run early in the second half, and Florida State countered with a big run behind it. And it never left that working margin basically the rest of the night, did it, Pack?
Nope. The Hoos got it to within 7. It was 48-41, and Florida State said, really? Okay, cool. Watch this. Here's 17 in a row. Good night. They threw knockout punches early and late. They did whatever they wanted to do. And as good as Virginia is, hey, when Florida State's making 13 threes and only turning it over 5 times, and they were energized, boy, they were really, really good. They made a statement to Virginia. They made a statement to the league. I thought they made a nationwide statement last night. You guys really think there's 16 teams in America better than us? Really? NCAA Selection Committee?
Yeah.
That's really funny. Watch this. They were that good last night.
Yeah, they were. Absolutely. Pack, here's the thing. I mean, MJ Walker had 17. Raekwon Gray had 15. Easy for me to say. But you didn't feel like there was a dominant player, but there were a lot of good players on the floor last night, right, for Florida State. I mean, there were like 6 guys, and you felt like any of those 6 could take the game over, right?
Well, guys just make plays. Like, even when Virginia made the run and cut it to 7, and I was watching the game last night on the couch, I'm like, wow, Virginia. I knew they had a run in them, but when they went from 20 to 10, literally in 5 minutes, 15 minutes ago in the game, they went from 20 to 10, and you're like, boy, does Virginia have another run? Well, they got to 7. And Coburn makes a shot right in front of Leonard Hamilton, which was a big 3, which got it back to 10. And now off to the races they go. It was really impressive because you knew the DNA of Virginia is that, hey, this that first half, that's on who we are. We'll give you a dose that we're going to do. We're going to make some adjustments. Keahead Clark all of a sudden decided, I need to be offensive. And he was. Got some easy layups and so forth. It was such a good counter of 2 really good clubs. But, man, Florida State was throwing haymakers. And when Virginia made that run,
they were.
And Florida State responded immediately, it was so impressive because that's what championship teams do. Hey, we're going to take your shot. Now it's my turn. And when it was their turn the second go-around, it was over. And Florida State was just too good for Virginia or anybody else last night in this league.
Yeah, Noles were 13 of 24 from 3 last night in the ball game. Mark already told you, extended the home court winning streak to 24 in a row against the ACC, second longest in conference history and 2 away from tying the Jay Williams Duke team of the late 90s, early 2000s that won 26 straight as well. The season high 13 from 3 is that's a number to keep in mind. Not to say that the Noles will be untouchable if they get to that number. But, Pack, the turnover number is the one that jumps off the page. And you mentioned this in hour one. It might be the biggest number of the night from the perspective of a 21-point victory.
Well, when you're playing Virginia, it is, right? Because that's what Virginia normally does to you. They don't give you anything easy. And when Florida State doesn't give you anything and they're making shots, again, they got too many players.
Yeah.
And they're playing with such confidence. And, you know, we ran the soundbite earlier of Leonard Hamilton talking about, hey, you know, it's a big win, played well, et cetera, et cetera. But we've got to be consistent moving forward. Their next test will be a good one. Virginia Tech, you know, knock on wood, God willing, we can get this game in with the Hokies, and the Noles will be another test. And, you know, that stretch of 24 in a row now against ACC teams at home, again, assuming we play all the games moving forward, Florida State's got two more home games, Virginia Tech and Boston College. Again, knock on wood, we get these games in. They could very well go into next year tied with Duke with the all-time record in terms of ACC wins at home. They're just playing. When they play like that, Wes, there's nobody in this league better than Florida State when they give you what they gave you last night. Again, no knock. I mean, we've seen Virginia shoot lights out at Clemson when they beat them by 35 and made every three known to man, at least looked that way. Felt that way with Florida State last night, right? They went on that 14-0 run in the first half, another 14-5 run in the first half. They got Virginia down 20. They kind of did to Virginia what Virginia normally does to other teams, that they just blitz you. Mm-hmm. And you go, man, you're playing catch-up the rest of the day, and you just can't do it. So great, great performance by Florida State last night.
Let's run the conference standings up here if we get a chance, because Florida State now is 8-2 in the league. Virginia is 11-2. The Cavaliers' winning percentage is .846. The Noles winning percentage, even I can figure out, is .800. So there's a game and a half difference between Florida State and Virginia. Now it gets a little trickier behind that, because Virginia Tech's on pause at 8-3. They are two games back of Virginia, and their winning percentage is .727. And then Louisville also has three losses in league play. They're 6-3. Waiting to see the Cards, hopefully tomorrow, right? Hosting Syracuse here on ACC Network. Three games back is Louisville, and a winning percentage of .667. Give you all that because winning percentage is going to be the differential. That's the way the standings are going to be made here. There's not going to be a lot of equality in home and road. There's not going to be a lot of equality in number of conference games packed. It's strictly going to be done on winning percentage at this point. And as Dan Bonner alluded in our first hour, it's a scenario now where, you know, you're going to play as many as you can, and these games that have been canceled or postponed are ultimately going to be canceled, and we'll just see where this thing ends, because there's no possible way they've got enough space now to go make up these games.
I know this is going to sound crazy. I'm not even concerned about any of that. You know why? Because now I think you're thinking big picture, far as the NCAA tournament. And I told you yesterday, I think the number is 6 until proven otherwise. And I feel completely confident with Florida State.
Right.
I feel confident with Virginia. I feel confident with Virginia Tech. I do feel good about Louisville, even though they got some tests and they need to play some more. I feel confident with Clemson. Mm-hmm. And then you get, you know, that gets you to 5. I think there's a 6th team. I think maybe North Carolina's in a good spot, even though there are tests ahead for the Heels, and they can't just go on a 2 or 3 week lapse where they go 1-5. They're going to have to win some games. Georgia Tech still has an outside shot. So does Syracuse. I mean, you start looking at the net numbers. That's why I did a little peek this morning just to see where Virginia and Florida State, what they did based on that game last night. I mean, you know, Syracuse is 52 in the net. North Carolina's 57. Georgia Tech 61. Notre Dame 64. Duke 66.
Yep.
You know, Clemson, again, the other 5 I feel good about. Virginia's at 9, Florida State 16, Louisville 31, Virginia Tech 34, Clemson 42. Those 5 I feel completely confident that they're in. They're in. Now the question is, who else can join them? I think the league will get at least one more, maybe 2, if somebody gets red hot and makes some noise at the ACC tournament. That, to me, is the most important part now.
So the 1 or 2 candidates in your mind are Carolina, Syracuse, and Georgia Tech. That's going to produce either the only other one or one of the 2.
Yeah, unless somebody –
correct?
Unless somebody not named wins the ACC tournament, right? I mean, that is the million-dollar question if you're the Pitts, the Dukes, the NC States, the Wakes, the Miamis, and BCs of the world, right? And unless something crazy happens in Greensboro. But I think that's right.
So are you – let me ask you this going down the stretch. Is it the number of losses in the league or the number of wins in the league?
Wins. I mean, Syracuse, for example, is 52 in the net, but they do not have a quad one win. And I think one thing that we learned from the NCAA committee on Saturday with that sneak peek was quad one wins are a big deal. When you look at the quad one wins of the five teams I'm confident with, Virginia's got three, Florida State's got three, Virginia Tech's got three, Clemson's got three, Louisville has zero. So Louisville needs to, you know, to me, Louisville needs to play. I mean, they've been kind of out of sight, out of mind here for about the last 2 weeks, and they've got some games of note coming down the stretch.
Well, and that's why I look, you know, and I'm always talking about schedules, right? And you're saying, well, we just hope we get to lunch, and that's true too. But to me, it is about kind of who you're going to play and how you're going to and win. Like the order Georgia Tech's just come through, and now all of a sudden here they are playing Boston College tomorrow, and then on the weekend they're supposed to get Miami. So now all of a sudden things are starting to percolate a little bit for Georgia Tech. They win those two, they're 8-6. Well, that 8 looks a lot different than, say, you know, Notre Dame, who was supposed to play Clemson and now supposed to play at Syracuse this weekend, who's got 6. And we're talking about two different lines here in the standings. But I think the number of wins is a factor. I would say this. I think that's why Carolina, to a degree, Pac, went out and scheduled Northeastern for tomorrow. I absolutely believe North Carolina just wants more wins, period. And they wanted to find a good team to do it. And Billy Cohen's got a good team in the Colonial. But Carolina wants wins. And I think when you get parlayed into games, and it's a little bit of a pause, an unintentional pause for them too, because they lost that Miami game a week ago last night. Had they not scheduled Northeastern, they would have played the one game at Virginia between the Duke game and the Louisville game. That's it. Just one game in 2 weeks. They're trying to find something just to get the momentum built and also try to add wins.
Well, I think quality wins is more important. I mean, Northeastern's 9-7. They're second place in the Colonial Athletic Association, which is all fine and good. But North Carolina is 1-6 in quad one wins. 1-6.
That's it.
Now, the good news for North Carolina, here's the good news. You've got plenty of opportunities to bump that number up between now and the end of the season, assuming these games are played. That's why it's important to play the games. Will Northeastern help them? Probably not, as far as the net number goes. But, Wes, you know, teams like Georgia Tech, you mentioned their schedule. Yeah, they can add 2 wins. The most important thing is not to have bad losses. And the way the NCAA committee would look at that, you lose to BC or Miami, that would be a quote-unquote bad loss. I mean,
those
right
are bad
now,
losses.
Miami is 152 in the net, and BC is 169. You can't lose those games. You got to win them, but you cannot lose them. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. We got a big Friday again on ACC Network for you. The duels are off, but we got lacrosse for you. Women's lacrosse at 6 o'clock at Central Michigan at Notre Dame, by the way. And then after that, well, we got another edition of Bald Men Not on Campus. Jay Billis, LaFonso Ellis, Seth Greenberg preview the slate in the ACC, the latest news from around the conference, and more. 8 o'clock. Friday night, right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. Okay, Pac, time to get the Yoo-Hoo and the beef jerky ready, right?
Yep.
Because you know what's next. Gina Conti of Wake Forest. Welcome back to the show. Yep, we're excited. Friend of the show, number 5, Gina Conti is next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. All right, she's back. She did such
Bless
a great job the first go around. We had to have Gina Conti
Bless
back.
Bless her heart.
And the Deacs are playing well, and they're in the hunt for an NCAA tournament bid. All right, let's do it. Gina Conti joins us. Gina, good morning. How's life treating you?
Good morning. Good. How are you guys?
We're good. It's good having you back. And I was kidding around with you during the break. Did you call bank from half court at Little John? Huh? That was crazy. What was up with that?
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, we actually always practice them before shoot around, at the end of shoot around, actually. And then so, you know, in the game, I had the opportunity and I shot it and then it went in. So very exciting.
Man, look at that. Look at the form. It was perfect and the whole deal. Look at that. Perfecto.
Unbelievable. Hey, Gina, did you make it during the shoot around the day before or that day?
No, so we had an early game, so we didn't have shoot around that morning. But I hadn't actually made them in a while, and then finally, that was my time. I was like, okay, perfect time to shine, I guess.
Now, when that thing's in the air, yeah, you know, well, it's okay. Good, though, right? I mean, sometimes you just can feel it that, you know what, that's close, right? Did that one just feel good?
I don't know necessarily. I was just excited. I don't know. I was like, let me make sure I get it off in time. So
there you go.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. This has been a big week. You're the ACC Player of the Week for the second time. You got the senior night win at Joel Coliseum. You know, you guys keep the NCAA hype train going with the win at Clemson. This has to be a pretty good way to start the week, right?
Yeah, I would say our team is super, super excited just to see where we're headed. Coach always emphasizes, one game at a time. And so we do have three games left this season. But NC State is our next opportunity. So that's what we're looking forward to most and focused on right now is NC State.
And that is a big game. Not only is it one of those Tobacco Road things, but we know how good NC State is. So you know what kind of challenge lies ahead.
Right. It's definitely a big opportunity. And I think this time of season, all these last few games winding down are super exciting. So I know our team is super ready and, we're just looking forward to it.
Gene, has this been a tough year? I mean, all the things we just talked to Brian Saronic, who plays tennis at Carolina, talking about, they got shut down about a year ago. I mean, they were getting ready to start their conference schedule. We talked about, the long run in basketball. I think people think you guys just kind of started this thing in October. And actually, it goes back to what, August, when you told us you came back to campus, maybe even earlier, to kind of get this drill underway. This has been a long ride, hasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I would definitely say just at the beginning and just how it's progressed now with just, even mask wearing and all of that and to now what it is. But I would just say, we took it as a challenge at first, our team especially. And I think that so far so good. And we're just going to keep following all the protocols and all that. It has been a long season, but very exciting. And, it's always just like the unknown. But if we keep staying the course and doing what we're supposed to do, I think that it's worked out for us and we'll continue to do that.
Gina, I know NC State is number one on the priority list here because it's up next. But do you sneak around and just see last four in, first four out? Is there any conversation about the bubble amongst your teammates, coaches, friends? I mean, and if so, what's the conversation? And if not, how do you stay away and just say that's outside noise, it's irrelevant? Which way do you go on that one?
No. So I would definitely say coach has definitely brought it up and said how close we are, to making it into NCAA tournament. But it all comes down to what we do as a team and, how we're preparing ourselves and our focus on each game and like the scouting report. So I definitely say, yeah, we've definitely talked about it and how this opportunity is so big and how it's super exciting. So I would say, yeah, it's definitely been talked about.
All right, but Gina, there's got to be some of the residual of last year and the run you guys kind of had in Greensboro, right? I mean, there was that little bit of run at the end of the postseason, and we had Coach Hoover on our set at the women's tournament. We were talking about, building that momentum. And I remember in our first visit with you and a visit we've had with her, there's a little bit of last year kind of hanging around. Is it inspirational? Is it motivating? Which role does it play in driving this year's team?
I would definitely say motivating, not being able to have postseason tournament last year and that be taken away from us when we had the opportunity. I would say now that the opportunity is now in front of us right now, it's super exciting. And so I guess it's definitely motivating for all of our team to get back what we had taken away and the opportunities here. So I know we're all super excited about it.
Now, Gina, since the last time we had you on the show, I've been keeping an eye on your free throw shooting percentage. And I've said... For every time that you miss a free throw, I am going to make a charitable donation in honor of you and the Wake Forest Women's Basketball Program. You guys have to let me know what your charity is in Winston-Salem. But I did take a look at the numbers now. We're 72 of 87, 82.8%. That's 15 misses. Now, I'm rooting for you to make them all because every time you miss, it's coming out of my pocket. So I want you and everybody else on the team to figure out what charity you want me to make this donation to at the end of the year, but I don't want you missing any more free throws, all right?
Okay. All right, for sure.
Is that a deal?
Deal, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. I Gina, when he started down the road, and I got to tell you, after you were with us the first time, Jen Hildreth was doing the next game, and she texted me, because we've known each other a long time, and she texted me right after the missed free throws in the next game. And Jen said, tell Packer he cursed Gina at the free throw line. Did you sense that Pack cursed you, Gina? Because this is a really important answer, not just for us, but for our crew. Because we talk about the curse all the time. Packer lays it on me that I have the announcer's curse. He says there's no such thing.
No, I wouldn't say you cursed me. Yeah. But let's hope I don't miss any more. So
that's
and
right.
Then, and then I might change my answer.
Well, that's exactly right. So we're at 15 misses for the year, 82.8 from the line. So again, I want you to discuss in Winston-Salem what would be a good charitable cause, because I am making this donation compliments of Gina Conti and the women's Wake Forest basketball program. All right? That's a deal.
Okay. I'll for sure talk
before
to my team.
We let you, I know you got a class to go to. But you became famous on the show when we forced you to open up the refrigerator and you just unveiled the ultimate combination of beef jerky and Yoo-Hoo, which still goes down as one of our favorites. So what are we sporting in the fridge at this point in time?
Actually, I have one right next to me, and I upgraded to a glass jar. So No more cans in my fridge. Glass jars only.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. That's senior experience is what that is right there. Senior experience.
Wait a second. I upgraded to the glass jar. I went out and spent the extra 45 cents for the glass jar, right?
Of course, yes.
Always.
So that way
better.
I can at least when I travel with it, it doesn't spill.
There you go. Well, listen, it's always great having you on the show, and best of luck down the stretch. Number one, stay healthy. Great. Keep on rocking with the grades. I know you're doing great there. And we look forward to having the Deacs in the NCAA tournament. It'd be awesome.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for having me.
You got it. Take care.
You bet. Gina Conti, right, Columbus, Ohio, one of our favorites on the program, ACC Player of the Week on the ladies' side. For a big victory on senior night and obviously the win at Clemson on Sunday that puts Wake Forest in a pretty good spot. You see Charlie Cream has him as one of his last four in. Little note here for those that have not followed this storyline, Jen Hoover, Wake's head coach, played on the last team that went to an NCAA tournament for the Deacons in 1988. So it'd be quite a statement. She's fun to talk to. Great team, Ivana Raza, Jewel Spear. It's a fun team to watch when Wake takes on NC State later this week. It's available, by the way, on the ACC NX, which is on the ESPN app as well.
And that is
going to be interesting to watch.
Huge opportunity for Wake Forest. That's one of those kind of games. You know, you talked about the men a while ago about wins. There are wins, and then there are wins. That is the kind of game and opportunity for Wake Forest to really kind of make life a little more comfortable as far as let's get off this bubble. You go knock off NC State and see what that does for you.
Right.
I mean, that's different than playing Marshmallow A&M. Hey, we got a W this week. That's great. But it doesn't really affect your status. You beat a team like NC State, man, that changes your whole disposition as far as where you are with the bubble entirely.
Let me ask you this. Were you a little disappointed last night to see that I think Louisville is listed as the 4 overall and NC State on a 2 line?
When I started working on the show for the day show last night and saw that number, it went to the top of my list. I could not believe the NCAA Women's Basketball Committee list. They're going to give me, again, I'm not knocking anybody on the 1 line. They're all terrific teams. Terrific. UConn, terrific. South Carolina, terrific. Stanford, terrific. Louisville, terrific. NC State's 6. What? Excuse me? NC State is 2-0 against the committee's 1 line. Now, how are they not on the 1 line? I mean, somebody's got to go take a seat. NC State's 2-0 against them. Now, help me on that one, Wes, because I don't understand that.
I don't know.
At all. No, they got 2 losses. Well, they lost to North Carolina. Got it. They also lost without their best player at Red Hot Virginia Tech and Elizabeth Kitley, who's been fantastic. I mean, I didn't understand the women's committee one line at all. I mean, you gotta help me on that. How's NC State not on the one line?
We may I don't know. That may require a visit from Muffet McGraw or Debbie Antonelli or someone who can speak to the the details of the women's basketball committee, because I don't understand that at all. Now, the Carolina NC State's losses are Carolina and Virginia Tech, correct?
I just mentioned that. Yes, correct.
Yeah, I mean those. So give me how all this kind of sorts out when Louisville's only loss is to NC State. I'm still kind of working through some of this.
If the committee is going to tell me that UConn, and they're legit, South Carolina, they're legit, Stanford, they're really good, Louisville, I'm not knocking anybody as far as the quality at the top. I agree with you. However, there's one team that's 2-0, both wins on the road at the other dude's house, and they're not in, and they only have two losses? Come on.
Well,
are you fooling with that?
Here's the other thing too, the idea that NC State's losses offset the two wins. The two wins are convincing wins, Pac. They're not like buzzer beaters, right?
Who else has?
I mean,
let me ask you this question: for teams that are really, really good, who on the planet Earth has a better combination of wins than at number one South Carolina and at number one Louisville?
Again, you're right. No question.
What are we talking about? I mean, I'm just using common sense.
I don't know.
I don't even need any metrics. I don't need a single
you're
metric.
You're right.
That makes zero sense to me. Zero.
Exactly. Don't forget, we got women's basketball for you today. High noon. Lunchtime, Pac. You ready for this one?
Let's do it.
Katie Meyer's got Miami in town off the loss at Florida State to see Nell Fortner and Georgia Tech. Miami 8-7, Georgia Tech 11-4, and in third place, right behind previously stated Louisville and NC State. Comes up right here on ACC Network at noon today, following the two-hour condensed re-air of the world-famous Packer and Durham program. And when we return, we got details on an opt-out by the Blue Devils. The preseason ACC Freshman of the Year, Jalen Johnson, is off to greener pastures. We'll talk about that and more when we continue on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Always enjoy Gina Conte. She is a lovely soul, right? Just looks like she be a great teammate. Reason we had to cut the interview short, she had class. So, you know, again, keep emphasizing the student
Far
athletes.
Be it from us to stand in the way of somebody's academic mission television program.
We are not going to do that. So you got to get to class. You got to get to class. So that's the deal on that deal. All right, Jalen Johnson is going to be a big topic. I know this afternoon on the radio show because this story broke literally the last 15 minutes of last night's radio show, which is around 6:45. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, boy, now you give me this story. Why couldn't you give me this story at 3:45 and let me give 3 hours? But today it'll be a major topic. And I'm sure, Wes, that folks nationwide will probably blast them left and right. How can you do this? And you're leaving your team high and dry, and it's old school mentality, which I totally get. I'm not dismissing it. But I pointed out to you earlier, in this day and age, a pandemic on top of it, you do what you got to do. And if Jalen Johnson is not comfortable for whatever reason it is, and I have no earthly idea what it is, if he's not comfortable continuing his play at Duke, then he should go.
Right.
You know, and best of luck in the next level. And if he thinks he's ready for the NBA and the NBA deems him worthy of a selection, hey, more power to you. If somebody's wanting to give you seven figures to go play basketball, man, go for it. Go for it. You don't need to get your college degree yet. You can come back and get that later if you're in the mood.
Right. I think there's a couple things here that kind of trigger me a little on this, Pac. One is the thought of, quote, he's opting out. Well, he could have opted out a long time ago. He's quitting. I struggle with that. I struggle with what you just said, the landscape of where we are. He's got an injury. Look, you knew the minute he started the season that it was a one and done, right? I mean, there are some guys who think that the one and done is going to happen and end up coming back for a sophomore year. There are head-scratching one and dones, and you wish them the best and you hope it works out because it is a life-altering decision. I mean, life-altering in a positive way and, unfortunately, life-altering sometimes in a negative way. Right, Pac? I mean, you could have stayed in college. You could have had another year. What would it have done? Is there a risk for injury? The foot injury complicates the obvious scenario. If in a normal year, would he have played? You know, he missed three games after it was originally there. Mike Krzyzewski alluded to in his statement yesterday, while we were encouraged with the progress Jalen was making from the injury, we understand and respect the decision. Okay, everybody seems fine with this. So every individual decision is just that. It's an individual decision made in consultation with, you know, family, friends, and obviously the school you're representing. He's just opted to tell you that his season is over. He's going to try and go get healthy and make it in the NBA. He's got a good chance to be drafted. What happens after that is kind of up to that team and Jalen Johnson, to be honest.
There are a lot of people who are not even athletes that have had incredible success.
Right.
Fame, fortune, without ever receiving a college degree. Now, I would highly suggest the vast majority, if you have the opportunity to get one, you should. You should.
Yep.
Jalen Johnson, when he arrived at Duke, I not for one second thought we would ever say, Jalen Johnson, a sophomore from Duke. Not one time did that ever cross my mind. So he ends it early. All right. So he opts out, quits, call it, define it however you want. Doesn't matter to me how you call it.
Yeah.
So he has now moved on with the next phase of his life. Good for him.
Okay.
Good for him.
Exactly.
And that's kind of how I feel. And I know there are going to be people that will rip what I just said who think, well, he quit on his team. You define it however you want. In this day and age, I get it. You know, we saw it in college football ad nauseum. It happened all the time.
Yeah.
Now it's happening in college hoops. It is what it is. Not everybody is equipped to live the college lifestyle, whether you're a student athlete or just a student. Not everybody's cut out to be in college. I don't think Jalen Johnson one time ever thought college was for him, ever. Well, so now he's going to go to the NBA. And if the NBA wants to draft him as a lottery pick, to me, like I said earlier, to me that's a bigger indictment on the NBA because, quite frankly, based on the eye test as a fan, which I am, this guy wasn't even an all-ACC player. That doesn't mean he can't have a great NBA career. But if you want to put money into him as a lottery pick, that's up to somebody else to figure that out. That seems comical to me, but it is what it is.
Okay, so then let's jump to this side of it. Remember the wide receiver at Minnesota who opted out, Rashad Bateman, right? Wasn't he the wide receiver at Minnesota who then went back and, regained his amateur status after taking money?
He opted in.
Right. Okay, and then what happened with three games left? He opted out again, right?
Gotcha.
Okay, Sean Wade, remember he wasn't going to play. His dad got fired up after the Big Ten originally shut it down. Then they came back, and Sean Wade played, had a nice year at Ohio State, so on. Okay, here's where Jalen Johnson, this gets a little complicated, okay? Now, the injury, take the injury into account, and that's hard to do here, okay? But remember, he was coming back from a foot injury where he missed three games. See, everybody remembers the dunk on P.J. Hall after he came back because that's the highlight you get shown all the time. But let's take the lineup. Let's look at the last three games of Jalen Johnson, okay? Here's the last three games. 8 minutes at Saturday in Raleigh, 3 points. 15 minutes against Notre Dame, 15 points. 25 minutes against Carolina a week ago Saturday, okay? That's his last three games, okay? Now, is some of that the injury? Is some of that, you know, are there other issues at play? Maybe so. Now let's go back to early January when Jeff Goodman of Stadium joined Packer in Durham and the topic of Jalen Johnson and his injury and his return was discussed.
You look at Duke and they need Jalen Johnson back and they need a engaged Jalen Johnson. Not just Jalen Johnson. They need him bought in. And I know there's that foot injury and everything like that, but there's some other things going on behind the scenes there, guys, with Jalen Johnson and the coaching staff. So he's got to come back and be bought in.
All right, Pack. See, you add all of the layers together, and everybody seems fine with this, and that's what we got to go with.
Yeah. And listen, when I saw the news late last night or early in the evening, was I stunned? No. I mean, that's the other thing. I was like, hey, okay. I mean, you kind of knew that that was a potential opportunity, right, down the road for a guy like Jalen Johnson. And I watched a bunch of Duke games like everybody else. The one thing I saw down the stretch in games when he's sitting on the bench is Coach K, who, oh, by the way, has won a handful of national championships in about 10,000 games, realized, quite frankly, this guy's a defensive liability. I can't trust him defending anybody down the stretch in a tight game. Guy knows a little bit about basketball. Right. So say whatever you want about injury, non-injury, attitude. It's all about me. I don't know. I don't know the guy. But I know this, in this country, yeah, you got the right to do whatever you want as long as you're not breaking the law. He wants to move on, he moves on. And I hope he has a great career. And Duke's going to have to deal without him. So, you know, they seem to be fine without him on Saturday when they shut Duke, when Duke shut NC State down. Now, granted, I know it was NC State. Mm-hmm. Business picks up a little bit later in the week when they're going to play Virginia. Good luck with that. I'm not telling you, are you better with Jalen Johnson? Of course you are. He's a pretty good talent offensively. I don't think he can play dead in a cowboy movie on the defensive end, but that's just me. But that would be an NBA problem coming up, moving on, when somebody thinks he's a lottery pick. So, again, doesn't bother me one iota. He's chasing his dream, and good for him. He's got every right to do what he did. That's what it is.
The storyline elsewhere in the ACC yesterday also centered at Boston College, where not long after appearing on the ACC's weekly media availability, Jim Christian was relieved of his duties as the head basketball coach of the Eagles. His top assistant, Scott Spinelli, will serve as the interim head coach for the remainder of the season. Christian, 78-132 in 7 years, no NCAA tournament appearances, BC 26-94 against the conference in his seven campaigns. Currently 3-13 and 1-9 in the ACC. Sources telling me last night, Boston College is going to get in the basketball business. Dan Beiner cited a facility situation, Conti Forum, practice gym, things like that. If BC is going to get in the basketball business, I'm sure part of that's going to be addressed, but they're also going to get in the basketball business apparently from a salary perspective. We'll see where that ends. We'll follow it, pass along candidates, things like that, as we typically have done on this program, and we'll see what Pat Kraft, the athletics director, comes up with. Here's what you can't take away. In the last 13 years, Boston College has finished in the bottom fifth of the ACC, or the bottom third of the ACC, 11 times. The last 13 years, they finished lower than eighth 11 times in the ACC. So, that being said, Eagles have some work to do. The last 9 years, they are 34-121 in ACC play, Pack.
Well, it's a performance business. And Jim Christian, we like him personally. He is a good man. I think he's a good coach.
Good man.
But in this day and age, it is about W's and L's. And much like Jalen Johnson had every right to make his personal decision for his future, so does Boston College. I don't like anybody getting fired midway through a season. That doesn't make any sense to me from a timing perspective, but I have total respect for any institution that says, listen, we want to be good at what we do, whether it be men's basketball, women's basketball, rowing, checkers. I don't care what the sport is. You know, if a school says, hey, we want to be in and want to be competitive, numbers that you see currently right now on the screen are not competitive. And you know what? Jim Christian would be the first one to tell you that. If he was sitting here beside us, he wished he won more games, right? Simple. So,
that's it. Yep.
You know, BC's got every right to make a change just like they did in football where Steve Adazio, again, another good guy. We liked him, but seven was the limit. They thought they could do better. They bring in Jeff Hafley, and all of a sudden there's a sense of enthusiasm and energy with BC football. They hope to capture the same thing with basketball.
That's right. Now, remember, too, Jim Christian got 7 years in Chestnut Hill. I will add this. The ACC, among the Power Five conferences, leads the Power Five in average tenure length. Now, granted, you got a guy who's 41 years at the same institution, but you've got three Hall of Famers, Jim Boeheim, Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski. You've got younger coaches and Chris Mack, who's early in his tenure. Steve Forbes, obviously, in year one. Boston College is now going to have a coach. But the ACC's average tenure at their school right now is nearly 14 years. So we've got a lot in the middle there that leads you to believe, you know, the next guy at Boston College will get a fair chance. If BC's getting in the basketball business, as you know, I'm being told the Eagles plan to be competitive in the coaching industry from a salary perspective and do what it takes facility-wise, it'll be interesting to see how fast a track they can move in hiring their next coach. There are some unbelievable candidates out there now, Pac, coaching and not coaching. Be interesting to see what happens.
The 14-year number is a little I take that. I got to be honest with you. That to me is a little tongue-in-cheek. I mean, you do have Krzyzewski. You got Boeheim. You got Tony Bennett.
Yep.
You got Roy Williams. You got Leonard Hamilton. I mean, hey, those
Mike
are
Bray.
Listen, that number to me is kind of like, okay, whatever. The object is, if you're a new coach, you better win. You better figure out a way to win. Jim Christian just proved I'm a good guy, I'm a good coach, but if I don't win enough games, I'm out of here. So that number's a little skewed. The object is, if you win, they're going to embrace you. They're going to hug you. They're going to love you. They're going to pay you, and life's going to be good. If you lose, guess what? The door's right over there, and hopefully you can turn that thing around. But BC is going to have to make the commitment to be competitive, and that's true for any school in the country, any league in the country. And if you don't, guess what happens? You get left behind, and it's a long way to catch up when you decided you're not interested in competing.
There you go. So Pat Kraft, the new athletics director at Boston College, got a search on his hands to find the next head basketball coach of the Eagles. By the way, Boston College also added Winston Tabbs, who had not appeared in the last three ball games, will not play the rest of the season in violation of COVID protocols. Don't recall we've seen that one before, but that was the statement released from BC yesterday. So when Scott Spinelli puts the Eagles on the floor tomorrow at noon against Georgia Tech right here on ACC Network, it'll be without Winston Tabbs.
When
we come back, final turn of the show for a Tuesday. A couple more things, plus a Tuesday preview of hoops. Georgia Tech's women play Miami at noon on this very channel. Back next on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
Packer and Durham. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a busy Tuesday show. So much going on the last 24 hours in the ACC, from coaches to players to crazy games, and Florida State putting on a show last night, and Virginia having to regroup this week, and accounting comes out Thursday. That will be interesting, Mr. Durham. Accounting is going to be fun Thursday. Can't wait. Got some nominees for the Sweet 16 spot. We'll address all that on Thursday, though.
Do you really?
Yes, sir. Good ones. Really good ones.
That doctor that put that needle in your knee yesterday, is that one of them?
Dr. Romanowski? No, he was cool. He was. He's tied in with the
Dr.
Hornets.
Dr. Romanowski?
Yeah.
Like the linebacker, Bill Romanowski?
Spelled the same way. Tied in with the Hornets, the CHAs.
Wow.
CHA Hornets.
So wait a second. Did you guys have some deep NBA talk yesterday?
We did.
Did you guys get into some of the NBA visit? Yeah.
We had about
Right up to speed on it. You're a big fan.
We talked about 10 minutes about it. Sure did.
Okay.
Yep. A lot of NBA talk.
Tell them you've been to games?
Game.
Tell them you've been to games?
I've been to one. The only game I go to is if you get me front row seats, I go with you. Other than that, not happening. Not happening. I don't even know what their record is. Are they 500 yet?
Are
the Hornets 500? Just ask.
We'll lean on the crack staff to tell us that.
So you don't
keep an
eye
on it. Or my son. If Will texts me,
they could be in first place.
Will's watching, he'll tell me. I know. They are 13-15, by the way.
Wow. That's awesome. That's an award winning year.
Your hometown team. There you go. So far.
There have been years we haven't won 13.
NCAA women's Yeah, the NCAA Women's Basketball Committee, by the way, announced the 16, much like the men did on Saturday. The women obliged last night, halftime of the Oregon-Stanford game over on ESPN last night. Louisville is 4 and NC State is 6 in that top 16. So, you know, I don't understand. NC State's got 2 wins over number 1. But, you know, Pac, here's a note that Drew Brooks passed along to us from the women's net. Duke is 59 in the women's net.
Haven't played.
59, Pac.
How long has it been since they tipped them off? They shut it down about 2 months ago.
Well, they have wins against, I think, Longwood, Western Carolina, and East Carolina. That was Carol Lawson's season.
Yeah.
59 I mean, in the net.
They shut it down 2 months ago. I don't understand it, Wes. You're asking the wrong person. When I saw the NCAA list last night, I started laughing. Like, all right, let me get this straight again.
Yep.
NC State's won at number 1 South Carolina, won at number 1 Louisville, and you got them the 16. Got it. Right. Sure. Whatever. Please. Makes zero sense.
Women's basketball coming up right here on this channel at noon. Georgia Tech and Miami. Nell Fortner's team lost a couple games last week. They're a half game back of NC State in the standings. Following that, Pitt hosts Boston College. Panthers have lost 5 in a row. Eagles have lost 4 straight with Coach Mack. So somebody will be desperate to pick up a win in a women's doubleheader coming up on ACC Network starting at noon today. A lot of people help us get to 322 shows, right? Guests, fun facts, stories, things like that, right? Wouldn't you agree, Pac? We've had a lot of incredible support in 322 shows.
Smart people.
One of the guys that's helped us a great deal made a play on the ball last night in Tallahassee, Pac.
Here he is.
The legendary basketball SID, Chuck Walsh. Look at him.
And the pass. Don't
Getting
forget
it back
the pass
to Raekwon Evans.
Look at that little
good-looking pass. Two-hand chest pass, thumbs down, Chuck. Chuck Walsh. Making a play.
And still wearing the mask. Let me emphasize. Still wearing. There's some folks in the stands not wearing masks. Not Chuck. Chuck still got the mask on.
Yeah. Respect the game, Chuck. That's respect it. The game. You know what I respect more, Pac? He didn't go down making the play.
You know, I thought his attempt, the speed of the going after the ball made a ton of sense. Patience. It'll eventually stop rolling.
Stay safe, everybody. See you in the morning at 7. Take care.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.